We are in an age of a crisis of meaning. We have stopped pondering the questions of the purpose of things, or the meaning behind things, or the value behind things. What is the purpose of the universe? What is the purpose of our lives? What meaning do we attribute to the things of the world? To give you an example of how far this has gone, the writer Douglas Adams, a good atheist writer, in his book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, makes a point of this. This group of people on this planet got together, and they wanted to find out what the meaning, purpose, and of the universe and everything is. So they built this giant supercomputer, and they said, what is the meaning of life, universe, and everything? And it sat there and thought for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, they came back. He said, I have found your answer. It's 42. And they're like, what does that mean? Well, then you have to figure out what the question whose answer is 42 is. So they built this supercomputer, and they asked it, what is the question whose answer is 42? It sat for 2,000 years, and after 2,000 years, they came back, and he said, the question is, what is 6 times 7? The reason for that was Douglas Adams made a point, or his point was, there is no meaning, there is no purpose, there's nothing behind everything. It's as arbitrary as the number 42. Now, the challenge for us is deep to the core of who we are. We want some sense of meaning. We want life to have some kind of purpose. What do we do with everything? What does it mean to us? Sometimes we ascribe meaning to things. We try to make a purpose come out of it. For example, when I was younger, I worked for Subway for several years. And as you well know, Subway is a fast food restaurant. I am kind of the lowest rung in that way of the whole scale of economics. The same way, people who work at Subway are called sandwich artists. The goal was we actually make nice-looking things. Reality is that's not quite true. Anyways, I took pride in my job. I wanted to make sandwiches that were good to people, that looked nice, and I tried to make them as fast as I could. I took pride in my work. After a few months of working there, the customers realized the kind of quality of work I produced, and they called me a sandwich technician. I'm not surprised by that. I took great pride in that new title because it gave me a sense of like perfectionism in my work. But nevertheless, I found meaning and purpose in even something as low and mundane as a fast food job. The same thing works for all of us. We can find meaning, we can attribute meaning, but that's not our ultimate goal. If we're honest with ourselves, God already put meaning, value, and purpose in everything. Everything is already imbued with His will. Our goal is to find it, not create it, find it. And this is why most people have a challenge with faith today. They have a challenge with faith because it doesn't always correspond the way we want it to. For instance, a lot of people ask the question, does God exist? Their big challenge in faith is to believe that God actually exists. And if they look across everything, all the stuff of the universe, it seems to be kind of purposeless. It seems to be kind of meaningless. We can do whatever we want, just like Douglas Adams and his number 42, a meaninglessness out there. They're on their own journey, though. They're on a journey to find some sort of meaning, and they all strive to. But their ultimate challenge will be the meaning is already there. Other people struggle with their faith in a different way. Some people struggle with their faith because they don't feel connected to their community. They ask, what is my place here? And that's a big challenge. When we strive to figure out what our place is, we have to wonder with the question of, do I make my own place or do I have my own place? Do I have to do something or is it something of who I am? That's the challenge. Some people struggle with faith because they struggle to find where God fits into their lives. Where in the midst of all the other things is God's place? Do I have to make a place for Him? Does He already have a place? Where does He fit into all the other things? Well, these two questions are integrally connected. Namely, what's my place in the church and what's God's place in my life? The two answer the same question. They answer the question by asking, what is God's purpose for me? What did God put into my life? What value is there? Because that's the more exciting part for us. God already gave value to our lives. We already have a purpose. He already gave us gifts, abilities, talents, challenges. All these different things are part of who we are. We already have them, and He wants us to use them. He wants to use us to use them in such a way that by using them, we find our purpose. By putting them to His service, we get a sense of who we are and how God fits into everything. That is our challenge. And so, as we recognize who we are, our intrinsic dignity, God created us. He made us who we are. He imbued us with our own dignity. He made us for a purpose, to serve Him. And in serving Him, we find our greatest joy. That's our own intrinsic value, purpose, whatever word you want to use for it. Here's our challenge. Our challenge comes in today's gospel. So often we take this beauty of who we are and we subject it to our own pride. We say, by being part of the church, look at how great I am. I'm a great Christian. Look at how much I do. Or I want to get the esteem of others. Look at how wonderful of a person I am. They must see my wonder. They must see how great I am. And so we elate ourselves beyond where we ought to be. Jesus challenges us. That's not our goal. That's not our intention. If our intention is God and the service of Him, we won't care what people think. We won't care if we take the lowest place. It makes no difference because our greatest joy is in service of God, which is the beauty of our first reading from the book of Sirach. Sirach puts things in its proper place. Who are we? We're not people seeking the highest of things, like we're going to raise the Tower of Babel again. Neither are we dust that we have no more value than the rock we just tripped over. Realistically, we are in this wonderful place where God put us. And that's the true humility that we want. The humility to say, I am a creature of God whom He has loved. He's given me my own dignity. He's given me everything. Now my challenge is this. How do I return to God the goodness He has given me? That's always the big challenge. If we recognize the gifts we have given, how do we give back? So that's your challenge as well. To first of all recognize our own dignity, our own purpose, our own meaning in life, the value God has already given us, and to live that well. Live that in a sense of humility, of recognizing it as a gift. Then we recognize a giftedness in our own lives and say, how do I put this to the service of others? How do I use this for God's glory? How do I use this to build up His kingdom, to promote His goodness, to show God to the world? Because when we do that, when we allow God in such a way where we want to serve Him, we desire to serve Him, that's our greatest joy. That's what leads us to happiness. That's what shows the purpose and meaning of everything else that's already there. So I challenge you with that. How do you return to God the goodness He has given to you?